This morning, shall we turn to Luke chapter 16? The Gospel of Luke chapter 16. And we read verse 22. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. We are this morning considering the end of a saint and a sinner. And in our reading, we read from verse 19 down to 31. And that was the parable of the rich man and Lazarus. Or some will say it's not a parable, but whichever it is. First Christ told us about the rich man and Lazarus and what happened to them after they died. And even we saw what their conditions were before they died in this life. And this verse, I mean, it's catchy. You see that, and it came to pass that the beggar died. They all lived their lives. They died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. So this is the center of our thinking. But we'll go through the parable, not verse by verse, but to pick our lessons as we go on. I have three headings for us this morning. The difference between the rich man and Lazarus, their life here and after death. The similarities of their life here on earth and after death, and also their end, life here and after death, what happened at their end. We know that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ told us this, and this he demonstrated to us what happens after life ends for everyone who lives on this earth. We know that our Savior Jesus Christ, he was the one who abolished death, and according to 2 Thessalonians 1:10, he had brought life and immortality to life through the gospel, meaning that all the human wisdom about death, life after death, even believers in the Old Testament were not complete about what happens after death. Yet they had a picture and everything, but it was Christ who really came to taste death and rose again and is living again, who has confirmed to us what it really meant to live after death. And especially for his people, it's a comfort for us. And when he was on earth, he always told us what will be the portion of those who are also unbelievers. And so this is the picture he had demonstrated for us to see here. An epidemic can say, in seminal, a parable is Luke chapter 16, verse 19, Elkhorn, Efa, any friend Lazarus. Now, in Jesus, when he said, and let me just comment a little about the saint. Who is a saint? I mean, I'm sure it's common to say, oh, saint this and that. But in the Bible, a saint is someone who has been made righteous, sanctified by the blood of Christ, by his faith in Christ. It's not like as the our brother Roman Catholic would say that somebody who died and they will consider his works, he did well, then they say that they are going to make him a saint. No, a saint is somebody who has his faith in Christ, whether living or dead, is a saint, because that is what has made him. Nobody is a saint naturally. So nobody is a saint from the womb. And you know that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, he is the only one who knows the condition of saints in heaven and also sinners in hell. None has gone to see whatever is in hell. It's what he told us about it. And he can really tell us purely about what the saints, the state of the saints in hell and heaven, and that those of sinners in hell. So let nobody on earth tells you there's no heaven, there's no hell. They have never died and will come. Our Lord has died, he has rose up from the dead, and he is the Lord of death. He took hell and death for his people, so that those who trust in him and believe on him as their Savior shall not go to hell. They will go to where he is, as he says, he's going to prepare a place for us, so that he will come and take us. And as I said, that all human learning, science, education, whatever, let them combine, they cannot know what is in death or what is in eternity. They cannot. They cannot, because it's spiritual things that God has left it to those, to Christ to reveal them to us. So the parable of this passage is actually designed to prove the Pharisees who were covetous. If you remember, Christ, the writer said that in verse 14, and after he has spoken about that unjust servant, he said that verse 14, and the Pharisees who were covetous heard these things and they derided him. So when they derided him, Christ really spoke this thing to show them how covetousness and living a worldly life will end without faith in him. So it was spoken to warn the Pharisees to know that their faith to be like the rich man, to live for this world and die for this world, is a loss to the soul of a person that will take that person to eternal hell. So we hear, we see the story, we say that what? It's about a careless rich man who cared not so much for his soul, but he cares so much for his body and what he will eat. He cares so much for how he will dress and how he will appear, but he neglected his real him, his soul. That is, in contrast with a poor man, the poor who cares less for his body, but sought salvation for his soul while he lived. You know, many people have used this to say, oh, when somebody is poor, then you go to heaven. No, that is not the picture here. These are used as a description. Each of them stands for a particular thing. The rich man's life was a careless life who cared for things on earth alone. There are many who are not rich like this rich man, but they care for the things of this world alone. They care not for their soul. And there are many who are very rich, but they care for their soul. So it doesn't matter your condition in this life is, but what matters is your have you cared for your soul? That is what matters. So that's the picture Christ is putting across for us. So it's not about being poor in this world, so I'll go to heaven. No. Poor or rich, each of them have their own sin. So the kind of say, Christo you sue sa and some foy at the car Pharisee for not okay verse four, chapter sixteen I'll say. Pharisee for no more inebriate for no more we are saying your man. Almost says handsome I used to come far Aquana and Wendy Ukraine, no more Christo. The Bible saw can wait at the tree homonym. So now let's look at the difference between the rich man and the poor in the passage we had. You know that, again, many have also said that the rich man was a cruel, heartless person because he allowed Lazarus no place on his table. He only allowed him to feed on the crumbs. So it's a sign of wickedness. So some people have said that. But you know, Christ did not charge this man of being wicked in that sense. But he only said that what? He was rich and he ate fine and he dresses well. That's all that he charged him, that he cared about his life. Jesus did not say that this man was a drunkard, he was a fornicator or dishonest or a liar or a partial person. Christ did not say anything of that. He wanted them to have a particular thought in mind. All these are sins, but he never said of this that this man was a wicked man. You know that we are not told that he did any of these particular things, and yet this rich man lived this world and perished to hell. So you ask yourself then, what was his damnation? What was his damnation? And I will repeat myself, he represents what? The worldly minded person who sought his portion only in this life and was not at all concerned about eternity. Oh, talk to him about the life after death. Oh, have you gone to the death and come back? Oh, we have not even finished our life discussion, our life here. What are you talking about? Life after death. Let's leave it to the hands of God. He will determine for us. Many people will tell you that. But that is not the case. That is a case, thinking that way is a way of someone who never thought of his soul. Anyone who thinks eternity is like a chance they come and whatever happens we take, that person cares not about his soul. We also do not find Abraham when he reminded him of his former life as an unkind and heartless rich man. He did not tell him that, oh, you did not feel Lazarus. That's not what Abraham told him. Remember, Abraham told him that, verse 25, Abraham said, son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things and likewise Lazarus evil things. things that are good for this life. So you don't, also claim that, oh, you are a sinner, that's why you are there. He said, you cared about only things that you have only in this earth. And the thing you can have only in this world does not lead to eternity. It is only for this world. And it will end here. He knows that Lazarus was thirsty and you did not give him drink, or he was hungry and you did not feed him. He only said, son, that thou in thy lifetime receive good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. The can say, Abraham so ankanche ne se wo tama Lazarus se tiasa so ama nsu ano ama de duane ani wankasa anche o se hwe emra wo tiasa asi so no unya nyoma a eyema wo asasi so Lazarus nyoma a edi no nya wo asasi so sisi ano ye ye wakuba bia na bu adwo a wo da bebiye na sisi a wo na oda ahohiehiem eno na efa se ehu se de omuye no nya wo atwe yadwe agia so se nipa no one dream that one dream, bra, ah, the miss one, no one bear, so fierce as he swore. And I used to be said, the boy in the boy, and they said, I'm a dad, and all you share quire, or between me, I call baby, I need you, name woman, of course, or bravo, no previous in your mouth. A bit of a woman is you, or you'll be on fancy, see, on this, and yet, the need as one if you are seen, the crown. That is the picture. And on them for near, yes, we suppose we come here. So we can, you bet we have chance as you so, I am say, the papa, name, say, I'm pet and quantity of my cry. So he said, this man led such a life, not being accused as we see any of this, but he perished. So we should consider our own lives. It's not about what we have done and what we have not done. It's have we gone to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and have we sought for his salvation for our soul? So what Abraham said is to say that you have found comfort on earth in food, in dressing, in entertainment and health. You know, this is the many things that when people are working, I'm working, that when I go to pension, I'll go and live in such and such a place, where there's more good health, I'll go and enjoy my house. And that's the common thought people have in their mind. And they don't even think that how many years they can live to spend that kind of enjoyment they are talking about. But they are so. They don't think about it. So when I get old, I can have enough funds to take care of my health. Nothing of the soul. It is good to prepare for all those things, but those things shouldn't be your hope of living in this world. So you see, that's like Abraham telling him that you did not bear any cross of suffering and persecution in the name of Christ. You only live for this world and deny yourself of nothing. You only fulfill your sinful desire, embrace not the righteousness which is in Christ Jesus. Whatever your money can buy, you just enjoy it. You never sought for forgiveness in Christ. You never thought that there was something like accountability before God. All that you thought is this world and let me enjoy. No repentance, no sense of depth of sin, no real submission to God. He never sought, what are the ways of God that I can live as a person that pleases God? The can say, stand in way. Then Abraham catch and say, open your mind, hear more about what he said. Or catch and say, one share Jesus Christ. One share and quite a Jesus Christ. So be a woman who basically won't know what some Jesus Christ will be a break grab or brab woman, one person and your man. One shameful say, and your mind be out who say open, or sing and cook up an arm. One share being sacred. Well, who said one in proud home or sell copper one, fetch on your hook in. In that one for home, I'm sure all the best in your cook on Aston Martin. You only lived for yourself. So you see that he did not even sought for salvation which God has made available. God, in his kindness, has made salvation available through Jesus Christ our Lord. And whoever comes to him, he gives. But this man never sought for that. He never cared about his own salvation. But in simple terms, Abraham is trying to say that you did not live for God on earth, so you can't live with him in glory. It's a simple thing. Abraham, the professor of kindness said, Well, what's that? It's one chance to say, I'm in heaven, so would you mention? Because those who live for God on earth are those who are be prepared for heaven. Heaven journey begins on earth. It doesn't begin when we die. It begins here. So wherever we will go after death, our life here determines either life of faith in Christ or life of sin to destruction. But don't we know, and see many in this life like this? All that I want is ease and comfort. Oh yes, there's so much suffering in this life. Yes, but there are people who think that, oh, I should just have my ease and my comfort and that is all. You know, there are many who are wealthy, they are enjoying what they have. And they're poor. Many poor also are craving for the thing they don't have, the comfort they don't have. And that thing have blinded their ears and their mind for any truth of the Bible. Sometimes you approach someone, you speak to him, you don't know how I'm suffering in life. What you are coming to tell me do for me now? Will it bring me money? Sometimes you give a gospel prayer to someone and say, oh, will this thing, me, I want money. See the kind of life we live in. He meant to say that I'm a poor man. My concern is how I can live a comfortable life. See, so the poor might go to hell because he's chasing after what he has never gotten. The rich also might go to hell because he thinks he has gotten everything and he doesn't need any forgiveness from God. After all, he's okay. It's not like others who have to struggle for their living. No. Each one, whether poor or rich, has their own problem. The matter is, have you sought forgiveness for your sins? Have you seen yourself as a sinner? So many think that this is the purpose of life, to have ease and comfort in this life. And it is not wrong, indeed, as I said, to labor well and live. But mindful that your life, is it in Christ or not? Is your soul in safety? Have you considered your sinfulness? So let's look at Lazarus. We have considered the rich man and how he lived. He lived for this world. He never cared that there is eternity. I'm sure even if he had. And I think how Christ cast the story, I'm sure if he's a real man, I mean, the person lived in Jerusalem at that time, and I'm sure they know him. Even some people have called that name, his name Dave, Dives or something like that. I don't know how they got to that, but it seems he knows the character of these people who were living in his time. It seems, it's a year, but we can't prove it. Okay, so we look at Lazarus, the difference, the Lazarus had. Lazarus is the Hebrew word means a man destitute of health, or a needy or a poor man. You know, his name signifies his condition that he lived on this earth. And as we read, he was a beggar and he was poor. In verse 20, we are told that, and there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at the gates full of sores. He was a poor man and he was begging. He was also not well. And Lazarus, he represents the poor in spirit whose hopes and aspirations are in the world to come. Lazarus, though his picture shows us a poor person, but in reality, it is picturing to us the one who is a poor in spirit. Remember in Matthew chapter 4, better the poor in spirit, not a poor in material goods, poor in spirit. Lazarus represents those whose hopes and aspirations are in heaven, and such who care not for whatever God has brought in their life in this world, whether they have much or less. They are looking up to that heaven. Definitely. Remember Abraham, according to Hebrews, Abraham, when he got to, when he has seen the promises, and what? He said he was looking for what? A home, a place, a city, which is built by God without hands. He was looking for a home and a place, a dwelling place, which is not earthly. That was the faith of Abraham, and that is the faith of everyone who is poor in spirit. Whatever my condition of life, whether in good health, plenty, or poor, wherever, it doesn't matter. What matters is that do I have my soul secured for the world to come? The air can say, Lazarus, need you no chair, be away here. Okay, Hebrew cast anymore. Be I said, now a chair, be a oh, he hear me. And you can say, Lazarus, you be a or you're not stressed. Now you can say, Lazarus, in some form, dear, would you know more? Omu train a stroke and then I said, if we ask for now, I go for New Jerusalem and New Earth, that's where the aspirations are. I'm going to train a stroke for never banner. As I see, so there, I'm going to go for my brother Bombiano and form some more Bibrio, some more kids. Well, the hearing said, I'm going to go for my course right here. Some of them want to use Christos, so I'm asking about the fact that not the money at all. And only your money that's all, and only at the Omotia Brabo, Omotia, some preacher, one old preacher said that what? There are those who are what? Beggars at mercy seat. They pray always. Omoye as yourself for our Mogo, Abuam. That is the picture of those who are poor in spirit. They are beggars at mercy seat. At any time, they are depending on God, whether in plenty or less. When in plenty, they depend on God so that they may not abuse it. When in poverty, they depend on God that God will supply their need. So, Omoye, as I said before, Omo, Mogo, Adrian, O Yamini. So, Omo be brave, Omo say, I make some Omo Yansa, no more you soon, a kind soa, Omo say, and Guyamini must say. So, when you be soa, Omo, I'm resident, I will so, I have one of them. These are people whose life allows us to present here. And you know, Christ, we are told in Luke chapter 4, verse 18, Christ came to preach the gospel. He said that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. These are the poor, not the poor in material goods, the poor in spirit. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. Liberty of the soul from the dominion of sin. Liberty of the soul from the judgment and the punishment of sin to come, and from the curse of the law. Dear Christo, in the sense of the catcher, of the camera, or more, a whom, or more, or more, and so on. Omo a mo pe somebody omo benya fa ho to efi omo bo an ye sho omo so omo nya fa ho to efi yakopon ne bu fushu a eba omo nya fa ho to efri dati obon sam jemu a e te de boye fo ani yakopon mra no a ni pe busu a ho asotwe eba no san ko fo na Kristo be kan san pa che omo so omo nya e kwan no omo dwane efi. So my question is, are you sensible of your spiritual poverty? Have you seen your heart that it lacks that which will take you to eternity? Consider your soul this morning, and look, is my soul in safety? Has my soul found a salvation which is in Christ? Look, these things are told about our Lord Jesus Christ Himself, the one who will come as a judge of the quick and the dead. Since we are saying here, we have said, "We cry, daye, ejinaye ya, betu miyakonya mieni." Said that if you are as Jesus, if we say Christ, we are not about by as Jesus at Embuavo. So he should tell you that at that day there will be no mercy because he's telling us what to be done. Okay, let's look at the similarity. So the first thing we have seen what separated them, their difference, how Lazarus lived for even on earth, what the rich man also lived for on earth. Their similarity. The first thing is that the mortality of their bodies. Both the rich and the man, they were all human beings. They were all dying men. The rich and the poor, we all die. Is it not the same? The believer and unbeliever shall all die. You see that sooner we read that the beggar died, and then it was added that the rich man also died. They all were mortal men. They were men meant to be dead, to die because of our sinful nature, because of our mortal nature. So believers and unbelievers will all die. That does not make any difference. It doesn't matter if the believer died in a tragic death, or an unbeliever died in a quiet mood. Remember, we look at the unbeliever's death, it seems that the Bible said that he died, and the rich man said that he was buried. As if that Lazarus was not actually properly buried. But the word used was buried means that he was like a good burial. They gave a good burial even to the rich man. And I'm sure people will have mentioned his accolades and the big thing he has done and how he has helped so many people. Lazarus, it seemed, did not have any, because who cared about Lazarus? Why on earth? But immediately the angels took him. But the rich man, with all his exuberance, where was he ended? So the history of us all must end, will end as these people. Said the Ekan, said the only power of the other is you see, can any hino be a weird? There's an inyati, hey, ya bravo baby, if you say nyanipa. Yenyati, a troy, and he's a one day, 100 years to come. I'm sure most of us will be gone if the world is still going to continue. They'll write, he lived so soon, and he died so soon. We shall all die one day. So whatever condition, you shall die. But my still question is, are you prepared for that day? When you are out of this world and you go and meet your God, what are you going to tell him? How did you live your life? God's provision for your soul. God so be merciful to us, sending his own son to come and take flesh, to come and take human flesh and bear the punishment of sin on the cross of Calvary. What have you done to that? Say, I go for any more room, or do I send a summa and a bar? So I'm a friend of us. Ah, but no, 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 Did you thought of what God has done for your soul? Let's have a thought about that. And that will make us prepare for that day. The second similarity is that they also they are having immortality of their soul. They are immortal. They have immortal souls. They have mortal bodies. They both have immortal souls. The poorest of this world is as immortal as the soul of the richest. The soul of the poorest in this world is as immortal as the soul of the poor. So as the believer and also the unbeliever. There is life after death. It doesn't matter who we are. In that life, our soul is altered in it. So our bodies are joined to it. But immediately the person dies, there's life. One to this, to damnation and shame, one to eternal life. The Bible teaches many things about that. And the third similarity is that eternal destiny is in God's hand. And so each one of them went to the place they went by the purpose of God. You see, they also, their destinies are in the hand of God. The believer and unbeliever, the saint and the sinner, our lives are in the hand of the same God. The believer's life has been saved, sanctified, washed, forgiven by this God. The sinner's life is compiled with the wrath, the anger, and all the punishment, the judgment of God. They are all in the hand of God to give. At the time we depart of this life. The air can say, if you can't hear me, I come as well. Just say, the boy in the Obi or what you choose to eat. Omunia, Omo Dutch, you know, or Yaku Ponsim. Baby Obi, I call yourself, you can't call on some gym, any last of a call, baby Abraham or no. And your chance, Yaku Paul, I am sister, quite a bit faster than the whole other people, quite a bit faster than the whole other people. In Tumunia, no, I'm going to call him. In Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, we are told that it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. It was not by chance. We are all accountable to God. And they lived before God. They stood before God, asked how they lived. God is the one who has made us all, whether we live for ourselves in sin, or whether we live in his forgiveness through the righteousness, which is in the Lord Jesus Christ. And this shall determine our condition after death. You can choose to live as you please, but know that you shall be judged as you live. Yes, you have the opportunity to live as you please, but after death, you cannot determine how you are going to be judged. You see, it's like even in Ghana, you can live as you please, do everything, but if the law catches you and they take you to law court, your liberty is taken. So God has even given tokens of authority in our world. I mean, in the family, in nations, so that we can see the law, how the law works. If a murderer is caught by the constitution, before he was going to murder, he has his freedom to go and kill whom he will. But when he's arrested and handcuffs before the judge, his mercy is in the hand of the judge. So all of us, when we have fled our way of life, we'll go and meet our judge. God will stand there. We'll go and meet him. Yes, we have liberty to choose what we can. We can reject what we can. We can live as we please. But the way to God is still to the cross. It's through what God himself has provided. So we should look at that. Now, quickly, let's look at their end. As we have learned that death came and ended all the pleasures of the rich, the one, and also the pains of the other. One who was enjoying, unexpectedly, death came, he died. And the one who was also suffering, unexpectedly, death came. Because matters of death is hidden from the believer and as well as the unbeliever. Anyone who is saved doesn't know when he will die, as well as anyone who is unsaved. So that is why it's necessary to think about, how we are going to pass out of this world. So Lazarus was carried by angels to the happy side of eternity, where those who died in the Lord are resting in perfect comfort and joy. He pictures, I mean, that is what it stands for. When I come to Christ, that such a place is prepared for me. That one day, when I'm out of this world, whether I have plenty or nothing, oh, I will be happy and comforted in eternity. He was seated at the heavenly banquet next to Abraham, the father of faith. This poor man was granted a seat beside our father Abraham. And as Galatians 3:9 tells us that, so then they which be of faith are blessed with the faithful Abraham. It's my faith that will make me to be blessed with the blessed Abraham. Me jedi na me wo no e jedi ya bet me ama da me Abraham ni ya tna pon ho na ya je ni wo so hewe mo na Abraham jedi no e jedi na wo Kristo mu e wo jedi ya na hu Kristo pe se ne train no na betumi am agen nkwa. So Abraham just right told even there for the Pharisees in John chapter 8, he said that they were claiming for Abraham to be their father. Yeah, they were denying Christ. Told them that your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he was glad when he saw it, because Abraham trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ, and that faith justified him before the Lord. So that Lazarus is said to have that which is bestowed upon all believers, and everyone will have that which Lazarus had. Indeed, when all who come to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, because you know God has set Christ to be propitiation for us and by faith in his blood. But in contrast, the rich man was surprised as he entered the place of his punishment when he lifted up his eyes on high. What a surprise. I'm sure Lazarus himself, though he knew he might have eternity better, but he didn't know that how even eternity is so worthy. As we believers, sometimes we even think, I mean, less of how where we are going, and sometimes we think the world sometimes gives us some comfort. So when he was ushered in, Lazarus himself was surprised to be in a place that was so beyond his own thinking. And this rich man was also surprised. He was surprised to go where he went. And how great must be his surprise to see himself separated from God forever and feel himself tormented in the flames of fire. How surprised he will be, so that he will see that, oh, now I have no opportunity. And you see that he lifted up his eyes, that he never expected. He thought that how he was going to be buried, then he was going to carry on. You know, in the olden days, I don't know if they still do, when chiefs dies, I mean, in a traditional way, many slaves are slaughtered, are murdered, so that they use their head to bury them. Meaning that they will go and serve him in the underworld, in the world to come. What a deception. So they will care about many. So when a king dies, then people hearts are in trouble. So those who are slaves are in that community. It was rare thing they do. They will, either a queen mother or a chief dies, they will kill so many people. And they use their head to bury them. Meaning that they will go and serve them in the afterworld. What a deception. The king, the chief himself is going to be judged. And yet they deceive themselves with such a glorious appearance. And that's what many people think today. They think that, oh, I'm a good person. Oh, I know for me there, when I appear before God, after all, we all sin, it doesn't matter. You go on being religious. Be careful with your religion. It's okay, that's what you have chosen. But me, I'll stand before God justified. It's a deception. So you see, his friends even never, I'm sure, they never expected him to go there. And then he was led to such eternal perdition. I just want to give the last portion of mine to show you a picture of those sinners in hell, how the narrative tells about their torment. The first thing is that this sinner, the rich man, he saw Lazarus clothed with glory and immortality. This is the first condition in his punishment. To see that this Lazarus, who was so poor here, is now enjoying. It teaches us that the first, one of the miseries of the lost souls in hell will be that their view of the saved in heaven. Because only there's a gulf. But they will see that these people are happy. There's no, I mean, misery upon them. And then they will see how they have what? Been taken away from such happiness because of their own fault, which they have exchanged for with these temporal things of this earth for the eternal things for their soul in heaven. It will be a great misery for them. And they will sit there and bring things to remembrance. Even the opportunities they had to believe the gospel, the opportunities they had to hear the word of God, which they despised, it will come to their memory. Why they see those, even they knew they were with in the same place, being in eternal happiness. The second thing is that the torment which a sinner endures in the hell fire will eternally be a constant source of unspeakable miseries. Look at verse 24. It says that And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. See, some people speak of hell and take away the torment of fire. But the real torment in the flames of the bottomless pit will be a great misery in the punishment of the lost. Notice what he says. He said that I am tormented in this flame. Christ meant his words. So let none deceive any one of us that the sinner ceases to exist and that they do not live in torment. But some, like Jehovah's Witness and others, will teach you that, oh, death, the grave itself is being translated like hell. So when you die and you are a wicked person, maybe you cease to exist then. No. Christ tells us that both the believer and the unbeliever were alive. Were alive when their bodies were buried. If the believer had a soul, the unbeliever also had a soul. But each one of them were going to a different place. And the real torment of real fire in hell will be very great misery for those who go there. They can say, Omoa, Eko, Obunsam Jim, Adeba, Kuabema, Ayomu, Japan, said, Ejanwa, Obunsam Jim. He said, Oka said, Me, here was I, Eja, She, Emu. And I'm because Mumu, be another, I'll say, Obunsam Jim, you know. Now, say, Nipa, or better thou son, Babu, which I said, the Nipa, or yet Christian, you know. Oko baby, the only didn't use Oko baby. Nipa ewa and sign and quite a homa or mean, or be the other call same, or be the other call and quite a Christian. The next thing that when the unsaved soul become aware of the impossibility of escaping the torment of hell, this will increase their misery. When they think that, oh, now, so we thought that maybe hell will be for maybe some few years, but now I'm going to be here for eternity. And what is eternity? We can't even count it. So, obegbe say, oh, when something happens, be a oh, a quack a cry, baby, if you know. Then, mom, after Obegbe say, son, now, so, tonight, when some gym, ne then, yeah, a bear, dear, bear, yeah, pie. Because, there will be no way of what coming together. There will be total separation. And you see that sinners in this life are running from the ways of God. They hate his warning, they hate his reproofs, they hate his calling for them to repent and come and believe in him. But when that day comes, God will rather separate himself from the sinner. You see, God is now chasing out with his gospel. He's chasing out with the truth of the word of God. And even his word is begging us, don't destroy your soul, don't destroy your soul. But at a day when hell, you enter into hell, rather God will what? Separate himself from you. You rather, the gulf between you and God, it's not from you and God, rather God from you. God will separate himself from the sinner. And that's, it will be very great mystery. And there can be no crossing. The last thing that you can think of is that when those in hellfire think of their own sinful conduct, which has corrupted others who are still alive. When a sinner dies and in hell he thinks of those that his evil lifestyle, his unbelief, and his how hypocrite he was, has also turned many to be hypocrites. Many to be drunkards, many to be care not about the word of God, maybe many to be envious, whatever sins, I mean, he has made people to also think that was the life that was better. Maybe people saw his life. Oh, he was their mentor, and they told them, oh, this person had everything, so we should have everything, and neglect religion. Many people have their followers, and they also say, oh, since our master don't like me, we also don't go to church, or we also don't, I mean, we don't care about Christ. When they are in hell, and they think of what those living are coming to face, to be a great mystery to them. You see that this man said that then he said, I pray thee, therefore, Father Abraham, that thou wouldest send him, that is Lazarus, to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come unto this place of torment. Look, when he was on earth, he never thought of his own soul, lest to think of somebody's soul. And now, he being in hell, he said, hey, I don't want them to come here. But it's vain. It's a vain hope. What hope you can have now, if I'm saved, if this also gives or tells us, those who are saved, to be more earnest in our witnessing, so that we can at least help others, else we will be helpers of their unbelief to help. So if their unbelief lands them to the same place of torment, it will be a great mystery. And what that will be. And I remember even, I have friends from my childhood that we did bad things, that I was not saved. And I know some of them are even dead. And sometimes I sit down and think, hey, so all the bad things we shared, they took that thing with them to hell. They never sought the Lord. And they are dead. They are now, I'm sure, they are in hell, because that's what the Bible teaches, that those who have not sought for repentance and faith in Christ, when they die, they go to hell. So I know I have friends who are there. I'm sure most of us also can testify of our friends who have not sought the Lord, but who are in hell. And even while I'm here, sometimes when I think about it, it's a great mystery for me. That even when I got saved, I don't know, they were still unsaved. And now they are in hell. And to think of you yourself being in hell and thinking of those you have corrupted with your own lifestyle or with your own unbelief. Maybe you had a family, you never led them to Christ, you never taught them about the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe you were a saved person, and a husband or wife was saved, another unsaved, and none of you communicated the message of the gospel together, and now you have left. And now in hell you realize, oh, what mess I have done. But if men should think about life after death, to think about things, less things of this world, I think they have reason to know of these things. So in coming to conclusion, we see that the rich man being in torment of hell desired the poor man may be sent from heaven to convert his brethren on earth. But he is informed in verse 29, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. Friends, this is simply to say that they have the Bible, which instructs men how they can be saved from sin and find forgiveness from God through one small sacrifice of our dear Lord and Savior Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary, which is able to save our souls from hell. This is just a simple term like that. And are we not to be instructed by this? We have the Bible. The gospel is being preached here each and every Lord's Day. And we read the Bible. Are we being instructed? Abraham told him that, no, the Bible is there. They don't need anybody to come from the dead to come and tell them. Now, there's very common. I'm going to say, oh, I had a vision and I went to hell. And they came back and they are all lies. Nobody have gone to hell and come. It is never true. Abraham himself told this man that, let them read the Bible. Whatever warning God wants us to know is in the Bible. Whatever salvation God wants us to have is in the Bible. All that we need to be instructed about. God's word tells us to repent. So my last question, have you repented of your sin and believe in Jesus Christ, sacrifice as your only hope for salvation? Or are you trusting in something else? Do you have your hope in something else apart from salvation in Christ? Or are you living for this life, only this world? You wake up early, you go to work and come back again each and every day. Is it only in this life you are living for? Oh, then it's a great tragedy. It's a great misery to live only for this life. Because this world, you yourself might live this way one day, and the world also will come to an end. But let's search. If you are such, come to the Lord Jesus Christ. For it is your sin that he came to suffer on the cross of Calvary. And it is for the sake of our own sinfulness he perished there and they buried him. He rose again for our justification. So when we trust on his blood, his shed blood on the cross, our sins are forgiven and we have hope for our souls. We have an anchor of the soul that goes to heaven, so that when the storms of life comes, we are hope, we are held, and we shall never be moved. It's an eternal salvation for the soul. And let each one of us think of this, that we have the salvation of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ upon our souls.